I would like you to please open your Bibles with me to John chapter number 16. John chapter number 16. And I'm going to be reading from verse number 12 through to verse 15. John chapter 16. Holy Spirit, receive your help this morning. John chapter 16, reading from verse number 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Verse 15. All things that the Father has asked are mine. Therefore, I say that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Just shall we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity to gather around your word. The word in here is not mine, it's not ours, it's not anyone's, but yours, Lord. You gave the word, and it's only you that can interpret the word to us. Will you please, out of your infinite mercy and grace, speak to us collectively this morning and individually. Speak to us in a way that we'll understand. I pray for an anointing upon the ears and the heart of your people to receive this word, the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls. I also pray, O Lord, that you anoint my tongue again this beautiful morning. Let my tongue become like the pen of a ready writer. Let your word flow out of me this morning like streams of living water. Let it be in accuracy and in power. Let it be in simplicity, in the love, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Let this word impart our lives in such a way that we'll never recover from it. Let it bring a transformation more and more to the image and the likeness of Jesus. Let this word mix with faith in us, lifting burdens, destroying yokes because of your anointing upon it. Let your healing power grow forth even as I teach your word this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You know, I would like to start this morning by, you know, with a key quiz, you know. That's not something I remember when I was a youngster, you know, in my school days, when the teacher would come in and he would say, we're going to start with a quiz, I would cringe, you know. It's not something I would like to hear, you know. Tear a sheet of paper, write your name, we're going to start with a quiz. I don't like to hear that. You know, so we're going to start with a quiz this morning, but it's a very simple one. Now, imagine you've been transported by an helicopter, or what the Americans call a chopper, and you are taken into a jungle, the Amazon jungle, you know, and you are dropped right in the midst of the Amazon jungle, the rainforest, and you've been asked to find your way out of the jungle. How would you do it? Now, to give you some idea about this jungle, this jungle is the largest rainforest in the world, about 5.5 million square kilometers in terms of size. And that's a big one. That's a massive one. To give you a perspective, it's about twice the size of Western Australia. Western Australia is about 2.5 million square kilometers in area. So we're talking about a jungle that is twice as much, in fact, a little more than twice as much as Western Australia. And you know Western Australia is a very big, massive, you know, expanse of land. 10 of United Kingdom can be taken from just Western Australia, you know. So that's how big it is. Now think about something that is twice as big as that. That's how massive this jungle is, called the Amazon jungle, you know. It covers several countries, Brazil, Peru, part of Bolivia. It's a massive, massive jungle. Just imagine you were dropped right in the middle of it, this thick rainforest and you've been harsh, find your way out of this place. You agree with me that you certainly need help. There's no way you will be able to make it out of that place on your own alive. You need help. Now imagine with me for a moment, you've now been given an option. You've been given three options. You only are allowed to choose one of them. You know, in order to help you to come out of this rainforest, you've been given this option. The first option is a compass. The second option is the map of Australia. And some of you are already laughing. And the third option is to have a guide, an experienced guide, to lead you, a person who has, you know, usually will guide the, you know, the tourists who have come into this jungle. What's going to be your choice out of these three? Somebody says the map of Australia. Really? All right. Of course, you're going to take the third one, which is a guide. You need a guide, an experienced person. It's a no-brainer, to be honest, to guide you out of this very thick jungle. There are private guides who have been employed, you know, by authority to help tourists move around. You know, life is just like being thrown into that kind of a jungle and being asked to come out of it. It's an Herculean task. It's a very difficult task. If you're joining us for the first time, we've been in a series that we've called The Advantaged Life. The Advantaged Life. And today I'm going to be speaking, by the grace of God, on a message I've titled, You Have a Guide. You Have a Guide. You know, if you have lived for 20 years, maybe 30, it will be surprising to me if you have not come to the realization of the fact that life is not like 2 + 2 = 4. You know, life is more complicated than that. It's more complex than that. Somebody describes it as 2 + x = the answer, whereby x is a variable. So it's like you need help. You need help, and you need a guide through this forest called life. Life could be very, very complicated. I remember going through a Facebook page of one of our contacts. This was years ago, you know, where they put the status, you know. The status, they will tell you, I mean, you either put maybe married or single and stuff like that. And in our home page, she put complicated, you know. That describes how life could be without a guide. It is like walking in this Amazon forest unheeded and trying to find your way out of it. And I believe that's why God gave the disciples the Holy Spirit. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about this person called the Holy Spirit. We established quite very quickly that we're not talking about a force. We're not talking about an energy. We're not talking about an influence. We're not talking about a strange feeling. We're talking about a person that is actually as real as I am standing in front of you. In fact, much more real than me. That's the person of the Holy Spirit. And that's the person Jesus introduced to his disciples. He was about to go. He was about to leave them. And he said, look, by the way, I'm going to send a person to you. This person is called the Holy Spirit. And they were obviously sad. They didn't want Jesus to go. I mean, Jesus being with them was a massive bonus, especially for whatever they were doing, you know, proclamation of the gospel, the healing, the deliverance, and the amazing work that was still taking place. So they couldn't figure out how they would be able to live without the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, look, I'm going, but I'm going to send somebody to you. It's called the Holy Spirit. And by the way, this person is going to give you an advantage in life. Jesus said, yeah, it's to your advantage. I don't want to go to what we have covered in the past couple of weeks. Our messages are on our website. You can always, you know, go and check them out. It is to your advantage, Jesus said, for me to go away. Because if I don't go, then you're not going to be able to have this person called the Holy Spirit to come to you. So we establish the fact that the Holy Spirit is our advantage in life. Is that advantage that we have got as children of God to succeed in life. To be at an advantage, it means to be specially or favorably positioned to succeed or to attain or to achieve something. And that's exactly what Jesus meant when he told them, it's your advantage. I need to go. I'm going to send this person called the Holy Spirit. And this person is going to give you an advantage in life to be able to succeed in life and to be able to succeed in ministry, to be able to succeed in the assignment that I've given to you, the assignment of propagating the gospel. You can't, in fact, he told them, stay in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. In other words, don't move an inch, don't move anywhere until this person of the Holy Spirit comes into your life. And that's what we experienced on the day of Pentecost, they experienced rather on the day of Pentecost when they were gathered in Jerusalem and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and then they were able to fulfill the mission, fulfill the assignment. Why? Because they were given an advantage by God through the person of the Holy Spirit. Last week, we see that we actually need the help of the Holy Spirit. And we answer the question, why do you need help? Number one, because you live in a very hostile world. This the world system is a very hostile one, you know, to the teaching and the ways of God. And so you need help in that sense. There are persecution and opposition. And so you need help to be able to live a successful Christian life. And the second is that you are carrying the greatest message. We call it the gospel, the good news. And so you need help to be able to disseminate this information, this divine information, to a dying world. And it's not just from your side, it's so that the world will be able to connect with this very great message. What does the Holy Spirit what does this do in that sense? The Bible says it convicts the world, like we said last week, of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And that kind of summarizes what we covered in the last 2 weeks. We are called to a life of advantage, the advantage life. That's what we've been called into. We have not been called into a disadvantaged one. You know, some of us, out of our ignorance, you know, we're trying to explain our current situation and circumstances. And I would say, oh, if not for the fact that I'm a Christian, you know, I know what I would have done if I was, you know, not a Christian. We present it as if we have now been put at a disadvantage because we follow Jesus. That we are now weaker, that we are now, you know, stripped of what it takes to achieve or to succeed. But that's exactly not what Jesus has called us into. Jesus has called us into a life of advantage by giving us the person of the Holy Spirit. I keep emphasizing the person of the Holy Spirit, because if there is anything I want you to take out of this series, is the fact that there is a person, a real person, called the Holy Spirit, and you can actually have a relationship with this person. As in, you can actually have a relationship with this person in a way that you relate, you know, to a friend, to your spouse, to your children. You can actually have that kind of level of intimacy and of fellowship with the person of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus said, no, I'm giving you an advantage, and that's why I'm sending the person of the Holy Spirit. Now we've come to verse number 12, and I go to John chapter 16 and verse 12. Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. In other words, I still want to show you many things, but look, there's no way you'll be able to handle them now. You know, literally, the word used here talks about bearing something, lifting something, or carrying something. You can't carry it. You can't lift it. Metaphorically, it means that you are not able to understand a matter, or you are not able to receive a matter. You're not able to deal with it. There are many things I want to tell you. There are many things I want to show you. There are many things I want to hand over to you, but you can't take care of them now. Why? Because you are not equipped. So I'm going to send this person, the Holy Spirit. When he comes, then he is going to be able to help you to deal with those matters. So Jesus obviously left the disciples in a position that they will need an equipping to be able to, you know, succeed in life and in the mission work, the ministry that God has given to them. That's verse number 12. And of course, it's referring to the person of the Holy Spirit, helping them to be able to carry, to be able to lift, to be able to, if you like, to be able to bear, you know, the responsibility that is going to be thrown into their laps, you know, in the days and the weeks ahead. And like I said earlier, the Holy Spirit actually came on the day of Pentecost, and these people were transformed completely. I mean, these were just mere fishermen. you know, just the regular folks in the lower rung of the ladder in the society. But when the Holy Spirit came, the Bible says at the time that they turned the world upside down. Why? Because the Holy Spirit came and they were given that advantage to succeed. And they succeeded. They did succeed. As a matter of fact, some of us, we are here today because of the fruit of their success in ministry as they propagate the gospel. That's verse number 12. Number 13 now opens up a new room, if you like, as it were. In verse number 13, it says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. I love verse 13. When the Holy Spirit has come, he will guide you. Remember, we started by saying that you actually have a guide. You have a guide. You know, I was tempted to title this message, "You Need a Guide." And then I thought about it. You know, as believers, if you're saved, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's not just about you needing a guide. It's the fact that you actually have one. You know, I mean, for people in the world and people that don't have a relationship with Jesus, obviously, maybe it may be necessary to let them know you actually need a guide in life. And it doesn't take too long for people to actually come to a realization that they actually need help in life. Have you noticed that? When you speak to people that don't have a relationship with Jesus, it doesn't take too long for them to be convinced that they actually need help. Now, the problem is that they usually don't think that the help will come from the source that we as believers were presenting, that the help actually comes from the Lord. They think that their help can come from, you know, friends, you know, from spouses, from the society, from the government, or from themselves, you know. But you won't struggle too much to let them realize that, I mean, they've already realized that they need help in life because it's like a jungle. You actually need help. Now, but I'm not just suggesting to you as a believer that you need the Holy Spirit. I'm saying to you, you've got one. You've got one right inside of you. And as a matter of fact, that's actually what makes it an advantage because we can all leave this place and go to our separate ways and we still have help with us. Now, unlike when Jesus was with the disciples, now, with the benefit of hindsight, we know that Jesus was only with the disciples at a particular place, at a particular point in time. He was never going to be everywhere at the same time when he was on earth. When he would be in Jerusalem, Jesus will only be in Jerusalem. He won't be in Galilee. He won't be in Nazareth. All right, but here today we have this advantage that you and I, we actually literally carry the person of the Holy Spirit wherever we go. So I leave this place, I go to my home. You leave this place, you go to your home, you go to the shop, and you actually still have the person of God with you. That's an advantage. Otherwise, we will have been having to cast lot or maybe actually draw a roster. Who is going home with the Holy Spirit today? You know, at the end of the service. And of course, you can always be sure that the pastor will need the Holy Spirit much more than any other person. So I will maybe have the Holy Spirit five days a week, and maybe the members of the church will share, you know, on the 2 days. But thank God we don't have to go through that problem. We can literally all leave this place with the Holy Spirit because he's a person, he's the guy, and he's with us. So you don't just need the Holy Spirit as a believer, you actually have one. And it now tells us exactly what this guide is going to do. And this is the beauty of it. It does not just tell us that he's a guide, it tells us exactly how he does the guiding, how he provides the guidance to us. It says this, verse 13. It says, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. And I need you to pay attention to the next couple of verbs that you're going to come across. It says, for he, now telling you exactly how he's going to do the guiding, for he will not speak, not that word, speak. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. So we've come across two times now, the word speak. For he will tell, you see that? This is talking about how he does the guiding. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So when you put all those things together, speak, tell, declare, He's talking about the same thing. He's talking about the fact that this Holy Spirit is going to guide you by speaking to you. He's going to guide you by telling you things. He's going to guide you by declaring things to you. By the way, the word declare means to announce something clearly, firmly, publicly, or officially. To announce something clearly, firmly, publicly, or clearly. You know, it's to say something in a solemn but an emphatic manner. That's the way the Holy Spirit is actually going to guide us. Now, the Holy Spirit is not a quiet, silent, dumb spirit. He's a speaking spirit. He talks. He speaks. He declares. Why? Because that is the way God has done it such that he will lead us. The leading is by him speaking to us. You know, the Holy Spirit is not just a compass. I mean, there is a difference between a compass and a GPS, you know. A compass will tell you the direction, you know, northeast, southwest, east, you know. I mean, if you were going to leave this place and you were going to go to somewhere, maybe down south, you don't need a compass. Because the compass can tell you go northeast now. And then you can't be driving northeast because along the northeast is a straight line direction. It might be, there may be a stream there. There may be a jungle there. You can't drive through that. And that's why you don't carry a compass with you to get the direction. You carry a GPS. What does a GPS do? Turn in 100 meters. Turn left. And then you say, there left. In 200 meters, turn right. You know, I hope you don't have one of those GPSs that will take you into the jungle and say you have arrived at your destination, you know. You know. And then even when you make errors, you're supposed to turn left, you turn right. You know, my GPS will say, in 100 meters, you know, go through the roundabout. I can't remember exactly how he says it. And then it will take you back to where you have missed it. It doesn't call me stupid. It doesn't call me, oh, you're on your own now. You didn't listen to me the last time. You know, it doesn't say, look, I'm going to stop talking to you. It will reroute and then it will take you back. That's the person of, he speaks. Can you imagine, you know, the other time my wife and I were going somewhere. It's a place we've never been to. And then put on the GPS and put it on the phone, the address and stuff like that. And this GPS wasn't talking. You know, it was showing it on the, you know, on the screen of the phone. And I was frustrated. I said, what kind of phone is this that is not talking to me? Because I don't want to be looking. I want to be listening while I was driving. But it was just because I was impatient, because 20 seconds after, it started to talk, you know, and then gave me the direction. I was able to get to exactly where I wanted to go. The Holy Spirit is a speaking spirit. I want to make that clear and unequivocal. He never stops speaking to us as his children. God never stops speaking to us as his children. And he does this through the instrumentality of the person of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, who is inside us, who is within us, who is providing the direction. Now, I know what the frustration is. You know, the frustration is this. And this is where we get a lot frustrated. And please, if this is your frustration, you're welcome to the company of many people around the world, especially who call themselves believers. You say, look, if the Holy Spirit is a speaking spirit, you just said that the Holy Spirit talks, and the Bible says so, you know, so it's not just me saying it, the Bible says so. Okay, if the Holy Spirit is a speaking spirit, and you say he lives in me, so what's the problem? Why doesn't he talk to me? He talks to every other person apart from me. You know, that's the frustration. Now, here's the thing. And I hope I will have an opportunity maybe next week to be able to talk more about this. But let me just drop a few things with us within the confine of the time that we've got this morning. We call him Holy Spirit. The Bible calls him Holy Spirit because he is a spirit. He is a spirit. It's not flesh and blood. And so when he will speak to your spirit. He will speak to your spirit. Because that's the entity, if you like, that he is able to relate to. Because you have a spirit, and you have a body, you live in a body. The body, the Bible calls it the tabernacle, is going to drop one day. You know, it's going to drop one day. And no matter how beautiful you are, I know you love your skin, it's going to drop one day. No matter how muscular you are, 6-pack, 8-pack, it doesn't matter. It's going to drop one day, all right? You know, no matter how popular, how lovely you are, you know, how much people love you. I mean, the world has just lost the queen, you know, a couple of weeks ago. I mean, if you were to give it to, you know, to the entire world or to the nation, the British people, they want to keep the queen there forever. You know, but at some point, the body is going to drop. But that's not the end of you. The spirit lives on. So you have a spirit. And when the Holy Spirit will speak, he will speak to your spirit because he is a spirit. Okay, because he is a spirit, he speaks to your spirit. Now, that is the rule. Now, there are exceptions whereby, you know, God in his benevolence, infinite mercy and grace, in his sovereignty, will speak to people in an audible sense. You know, you have that in the Bible. But you have it less and less, especially after the Holy Spirit has been given to us as believers. You know, why? Because this is now the rule. The rule is to be led by the Spirit. As many of them as are led by the Spirit are the children of God. As many of them are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Led by the Spirit, how? Guided by the Spirit, how? By the Holy Spirit speaking to them. And then when he will speak to their spirit. Now, the problem a lot of us have is that we're not able to extract that information that the Holy Spirit has communicated into our spirit in a manner that we're able to make use of the information. Why? Because we have not developed our spirit man. The ears of our spirit man is still rudimentary. And that's the problem. Now, let me give you an instance. While I was in the medical school, we did a particular course. They call it cardiology. Now, every person that will train to be a doctor will have to go through that at some point. And so, cardiology just talks about, you know, the study about the heart. And so, where I trained, you're trained by actually seeing real people, not mannequin, not some models, not some, you know, not some whatever. You are actually trained with real people. So we will have what is called a ward round. So the professor or the teacher will take us from one patient to another. Now, our cardiologist, the person who was training us, he believes that the heart talks to you. The heart of everyone talks to you. And he will say, you just need to listen. The heart speaks. The heart of everybody will speak to you. That's why you've got it, this, what we call it, stethoscope, okay? That the heart speaks to you. The heart talks to you, for instance, and communicates with specific sounds when certain things are going wrong with it. You know, hole in the heart will speak. There is hole in here. Water or fluid around the covering of the heart will tell you that there is water around there. The heart is enlarged, it will tell you, okay? The heart is healthy, it will tell you. Now, somebody say, oh, hey, so is that what you hear when you just put the stethoscope? Oh, it will say, hold in here, hold in here, hold in here. No, that's not what you hear. That's not what you hear. But you hear a sound, and the sound tells you exactly what it means. Now, so the professor will tell us, so it will go from one patient to the other and say, oh, okay, students, come and listen. What is this one saying? Did you hear that he's saying to us that there is water around the covering of this heart? And then he will give us the stethoscope. Of course, we all have our own stethoscope. And then we will listen. And then we will hear the usual. Dun-dun, dun-dun. Lob-dob, lob-dob, lob-dob. Say, did you hear? And he'll say, did you hear that? And say, No, I didn't hear anything. Say, come on, get out. The next person. So after some time, we felt, oh, look, the best way to impress this guy is to tell him, oh, we heard it. So some of us get there and say, oh, yeah, he's there. Yeah, there is that sound that tells me that there is something, you know, that is a, you know, is a murmur. There is a pansystolic murmur, or there is something that tells me that there is hole in this. Yeah, it's there. And the guy will say, yeah, good student. Now, I did not hear anything, you know. No, and then the next guy will come. So, but that was just to impress him at the beginning. But after a while, after some months of having so many patients listening, then all of a sudden, we as students were also able to pick this sound, this information that is coming from this heart. And then we are able to interpret it. And before we would go and do what is called echocardiogram, we are able to actually know exactly what is going on in the heart even before the result of the investigations will come. And that's why, by the grace of God, some of us are actually able to function in the jungle. I work, for instance, in some part of southern Africa that is miles away from the city. And you have to function there without gadgets, because you have been trained to be able to hear some of these things that takes place even without the instruments. Now, where am I going? All the heart of everyone, every heart speaks. Now, but it takes a training of the ears to be able to pick that information. Now, so if the guy doesn't hear, does it mean that the heart has not spoken? No, the problem is not the heart. The problem is with the person. Now, you and I, we complain so much about the Holy Spirit is not talking to us. But you know the problem? The problem is not the speaking Holy Spirit, because he always speaks. The problem is that our ears have not been trained to hear him. You are frustrated on this side, but I can tell you that the Holy Spirit is even more frustrated that you are not picking this information that is getting across to us. And so what then do we have to do? We need to engage in the training of our inner ears to be able to pick this divine information as it drops into our spirit, so that we can make use of it. Because those information are actually required for us to live a life of an advantaged person. That's actually... Now, the problem is this. We've got so many lazy folks who are Christians, and this is the reality, who are not keen to develop their spirit man, who are not keen to develop their inner ears, who are just wanting to just wait for some, hello, my daughter, don't go out today because there is going to be a problem. It's not going to happen. Now, I'm not preempting what God can do. I've just told you that, you know, it's an exception. That's not the way it works. That's not the rule. That's not the way. When the Holy Spirit has come, it takes the position of the one that disseminates it into your spirit, man, and then you pick it from the spirit, man, by the reason of training. Now, this is what the Bible says. Isaiah chapter 50 from verse 4. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. This is what it says. Isaiah. Chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. Now, listen to this. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned. I'm able to speak as the learned, like somebody that is informed. I'm able to speak as someone that is informed. How? He awakens me. Morning by morning, he awakens my ear to hear as the learned. Stop. Now, you are able to speak as the one that is informed, as the one that is learned, because you are able to hear as an informed person. He awakens my ears morning by morning. He awakens my ear. Next verse. Great. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. So the Lord opened my ears, speaks to me, and so I'm able to act as somebody that is informed, as someone that's learned. By the grace of God, next week I'm going to dwell a little bit more on this. But I just need you to know that hearing the Holy Spirit comes by training. It comes by training, and it's a training that everyone that calls himself a believer needs to be engaged in. You need to develop your spirit man to be able to harvest this divine information that is deposited here by the Holy Spirit. That's when you actually get the advantage that he brings. Now, and the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us exactly what are the characteristics, as it were, of what the Holy Spirit says. When the Holy Spirit speaks, how do you know that this is the Holy Spirit talking? And it's not just the devil, because the devil does talk to people, or the world system, you know, talking to you, or it's just because you've had too much to eat and drink last night, you know? How do you know? The Bible tells us, number one, in the same place where we have just read, verse 13, when, however, that's John chapter 16, verse 13, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. The first thing I want you to note is this. The Holy Spirit only says, the Holy Spirit says will be from Jesus. What the Holy Spirit says will be from Jesus. Now, it says he's going to speak, he's not going to speak on his own authority. Whatever he hears, he will speak. Whatever he hears, he speaks. Now, what does that mean? That the Holy Spirit will say to you, whatever he's going to say to you will not contradict Jesus' words. You're not going to begin to find a contradiction between what the Holy Spirit is saying and what the Word of God is saying to you. Because the person of Jesus is a representation of the person of the Word. You know, John chapter 1 verse 1 says, and the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's in verse 14. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwell among us. So the Holy Spirit will only say what the Lord Jesus is saying, what the Word of God is saying to you. So whatever the Holy Spirit says and does not find, you can't find a place in the Bible that kind of supports it, then that's not the Holy Spirit talking to you. You know, he will never say anything that contradicts the Word. For instance, I mean, this is maybe an extreme example, but I think it's necessary. The Holy Spirit will not tell you as a man that it's time to take a second wife. I don't care where you get that revelation from. You know, the other time I was watching one joker, somewhere around the world, who was actually telling his congregation, he's a pastor or a prophet, I can't even remember what he calls himself, who said that, look, the Lord has actually told him to go and take another wife from another country because the woman has actually been living with him. And the congregation started clapping. And I said, wow. Deceived people clapping for the deceived prophet, because the Holy Spirit will never tell you that. In the New Testament context, there is no place for that. So I know the example is kind of extreme, but that's the truth. The Holy Spirit will not tell you something that is contradictory to his word. Number two, whatever the Holy Spirit says will glorify Jesus. That's what he says, verse 14. It will glorify me, for it will take of what is mine and declare it to you. It will glorify me, and it will take whatever is mine and declare it to you. Okay? Whatever the Holy Spirit is going to say, the direction he's going to give you, is going to glorify the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it's going to put Jesus at the center of it. You've heard people say, you know, whatever makes you happy, do it. No, that's not the Holy Spirit talking. Because you are not going to be at the center. You know, whatever makes God happy is your pursuit. You are made for his pleasure, not for your pleasure. Because ultimately, whatever gives him pleasure will give you the best advantage in life. The greatest thing that you can harvest as a person will be revealed and will be released to you as you make Jesus the center of every decision that you make. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will only glorify the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, the Holy Spirit will tell you about the future. Look at what it says. It says this in verse 12, verse 13, the latter part. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will tell you things to come. I love this. Now, the Holy Spirit tells us things to come. Now, I know for many of us, we may not actually come to a point where we're going to be able to predict the future. There are certain people that God has appointed and anointed as prophets, and he reveals his heart to them. So what I'm saying to you is that you probably will not be able to come to a point where you are going to be able to say, you know, in 2025, this exact thing is going to happen. You know, and that's not exactly, that is not exactly what the Bible is saying here for all of us, that we're going to be able to know and predict the future. Otherwise, then we're not going to be mortals, we're going to be gods. Now, there are people that God has given that grace because he has called them into that office. But what is he saying to us? For many of us, this is what he's saying. You will be able, the Holy Spirit will be able to show you things that will let you know how things are going to pan out. How things will end, how things will eventuate. You know, it will be able to show you how things will end, the future of things. It will be able to show you and what something will lead to. It will be able to show you right now. So it will be able to tell you how it's going to end or how the future is going to be. Like I said, for many of us, it's probably not going to come in the context of telling you exactly on the 25th of April 2025, this is going to happen. It may not get to that point if you're not being called into the office of a prophet, you know. But it might go along that line as well. But the constant thing is that it's going to show you how things are going to end, how things are going to eventuate. Maybe in your business, maybe in your family, maybe in your marriage, maybe in your health situation. It's going to tell you, it's going to lead you, it's going to speak to you in that wise. I round up this morning. Now, and I'm going to speak more about the teaching or the hearing of the Holy Spirit and how, because it's so critical, it's so important by the grace of God next week. But listen to me. I round up, church. Now, a couple of months ago, talking about the Holy Spirit telling us about the future, I just sense that the Lord will want me to start in, to start dealing with, you know, my finances in a certain way. You know, I sensed it, and I perceive it's the Holy Spirit talking to me. No. I wasn't in trouble. I wasn't in financial trouble. No, to the glory of God. You know, I wasn't in some huge debt or whatever. No. Things were reasonably okay. But he started talking to me about the future, which relates to the way we manage the finances of the family. You know, and I called my wife and I shared my thoughts with her. You know, I think the Lord is leading us in this direction. That's the Holy Spirit telling you about the future. And from that point, we started changing the direction of certain decisions that we make in the family. Like I said, we were not in trouble financially by the grace of God, you know, to the glory of God. We're not in trouble, but the direction of the way we manage our finances kind of focus. I mean, change the focus. Because all of a sudden, it gives us an insight into what the future holds in that area. That's what I'm talking about, people of God. The Holy Spirit is a speaking spirit. And if you were engaged with him, it would show you things. It would tell you things ahead of time. And then when the future comes, people will like, wow, you are a master, you are a superman. No, it's the Holy Spirit that has given you the direction and you have taken heed to it. I'm challenging you, people of God. Let's get real with this person. He's so real. That's the person who gives us advantage in life. And if you're here, you don't know Jesus, you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, the place to start is to receive Jesus into your life. Because he is the one that will send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not come on his own accord. Jesus sends him to you. And that's the place to start. It's a training, yes, but it needs to start at some point. This is the advantage life, people of God. And we don't need to wait 10, 20, 15 years from now. You can start living that life right now. Why? Because he is given to us as a guide, a true guide that will lead us to our destiny. Let us pray.